Our message series is called Making It Count. In other words, we want to have you have a life that's meaningful, to making a life that's purposeful, making a life count for both now and eternity. So far, we've examined making your work count, and we've examined last week making your rest count. Today, we're going to examine making your faith count. And so if you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for all that you have done for us, Lord. And Lord, as we think about our lives and the lives that we live here, Lord, we want to do our best to make our life count, Lord, to be used of you to our greatest capacity that you would have for us, Lord. And so, Lord, as we focus on faith today, Lord, I pray that as we examine some very strong truths here today, Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and, Lord, help us to see those truths. And, Lord, we can apply those truths to our lives. And, Lord, we pray especially for those, Lord, who may not have experienced faith in you. Lord, we pray that they would be able to see the truth here today and that you would prick their hearts, Lord, and I pray that they would come to know you today. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, everyone believes in something. There are many diverse beliefs in our world, but every individual holds some form of belief. Even non-religious people have a deeply set of held beliefs or principles about the world around them. In a world with so many choices, where do you turn? How do you decide? Which one is right? Some of you have explored different religions and are currently maybe investigating Christianity. And my hope that you will uncover the truth of Christianity and stay committed to it here this morning. However, it's essential to recognize that all religions are not the same. They're not the same. You have those who say, well, truth is relative today. You believe what you believe, I believe what I believe, and they're both correct. Well, if they are opposites, and if they disagree with each other, according to the law of non-contradiction, it states that they can't both be right. If you say one thing is right and I say the exact opposite is right, then both of us cannot be true. And so truth is not always relative. I mean, we don't live that way, do we? We don't live our lives that way. I mean, you try going to your bank and you go and you deposit $500 and then you try to go and withdraw $5 million and say, well, that's my truth. What kind of response do you think you're going to get? You think you're going to get $5 million out of that bank? No, what's going to happen? You're going to end up with a very clever clerk, and she's going to give you that $500 back and say, here's your $5 million back, is what's going to happen, because this is true for us, right? So truth is not relative in all situations. And so how do you determine what to believe in? What you believe about God and the world is vitally important because what you believe has a direct impact on your actions and your decisions that you make in life. How sad it would be for you to get to the end of your life only to find out that you've based all your actions and belief on something that wasn't even true. And I think of all the suicide bombers and the jihadists and others who have sacrificed their lives for their causes. And what a rude awakening that's going to face them as they pass through the other side of eternity, and they find themselves in a hell that they can't escape. What you believe in this life matters because it will impact where you will spend eternity in the next life. Everyone believes in something, so make your faith count. Make your faith count. That's what today's message is all about. Today, we're going to look at five different biblical principles here that will help you make your faith count. And not only for this world that we live in here today, but also for eternity as well. And so the first thing we want to look at here today, the first principle, is faith means trust. Faith means trust. We see this in the classic definition of faith that's found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. The word substance there means confidence or assurance of trust, setting under or a foundation, as it were. Faith means trusting when you can't really see what's going on down below. For instance, if you're walking and you're going across a bridge, I don't know how many of you would actually sort of stop and maybe go around and have a look underneath the bridge and, you know, maybe give it a good test, give it a little shake and see if there's any, you know, corrosion under there before you actually go back up top and then cross over the bridge. No, generally by faith, we just go and we just walk across the bridge. I don't think you sit there and stand there and waiting for somebody to maybe come with your height and your weight and see them go across and say, okay, yeah, now I feel comfortable. I can go across now. Whenever you came in here today, I don't think you were sitting there, you know, kind of testing your chairs before you turn around and had a sit down. Thankfully, we had some guys get rid of the broken ones here yesterday, so you're in good shape. But by faith, you come and you just have a seat. We exercise faith all the time. We exercise faith every day of our lives. A person who puts their trust or their faith in their spouse doesn't follow them around everywhere, checking all their phone records and reading all their emails. Why? Because they don't have to see in order to believe. They trust their spouse. Faith means trust. And it's the same way when we talk about having faith in God. Having faith in God doesn't simply mean believing that He exists. There's a lot of people that believe God exists. Even the demons believe and they tremble, the Bible tells us. But having faith in God means trusting Him. You trust His character. You trust His promise. You trust His word. Faith involves knowledge, assent, and trust. Knowledge is important because you have to know something before you can believe in it. We don't have a blind faith or a logical faith. Our faith is founded in the knowledge of God revealed to us in Scripture. It is a faith that has been tested over and over and over again in Scripture, and we read the benefits of that knowledge. Now, assent is important because you must agree with what you know before you can believe it. However, it is not genuine faith until you take that final step, which is trusting. There's a great children's message that illustrates this truth. First of all, you go and ask your children, hey, do you believe I exist? And of course, they, you know, I believe you exist. You know, that's knowledge. And then you ask them if they believe that you could catch them if they were to fall. Well, that's assent. And then you ask them to stand on the edge of the stage here and fall backwards into your arms. They might have shown knowledge and agreement with their answers for the first two questions, but they haven't truly exercised faith until they have demonstrated their trust by actually falling into your arms. Same way with God. It's good to believe that God exists. It's good to agree that God's word is true. But until you trust Him, until you make a conscious choice to fall into His arms and rest completely in Him, you don't have true faith. The book of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with what? Part of your heart? A little bit of your heart? All of your heart. And lead not into what? Your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and what's going to happen? He will direct your paths. Do you actually believe this verse? Do we truly believe this verse? Hey, this is a great verse, by the way, for you to put to memory. If you got your Bibles, you may want to open it up and mark this verse. This is a great verse to put to memory because there's going to be time in our lives where we're going to have to go back to this verse and we're going to have to say, okay, Lord, your word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I don't understand what's going on. My understanding is not clear right now, and I know that I cannot be dependent upon that. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. No matter what's happening in our lives, we're going to acknowledge God in our lives, and He will direct our paths as a result of that. Consider your current circumstances that keep you up at night and disturbing your sleep. Apply this verse to that situation. Are you trusting God or your own understanding? Are you allowing Him to direct your paths, or are you the one that's sitting in the driver's seat? When I was a kid, it became very popular that bumper stickers were quite popular where I was at. Everybody had a bumper sticker on the back of the car, and It was a way to get your message out. And I saw a number of Christians driving around with a bumper sticker that says, "God is my co-pilot," on their cars. And they were pretty proud of their little bumper stickers, you know, "God is my co-pilot" and things like that. And not until a few months later, we saw some additional bumper stickers come out that says, God is my co-pilot. If God is your co-pilot, then you need to move over and let him take the wheel." And I thought, well, how true is that? And I think that that concept and idea is true. If you're driving your life, don't be surprised if you drive it straight into a ditch. We don't always see what's up ahead. By faith, we need to get out of the driver's seat and hop into the back seat and say, "Okay, God, you're in control. You drive. You know, leave me where you wish." Now, why do I say we need to get in the back seat? Because I know some of you, it's like, you know, when our kids learn to drive, what does the parents do? They're always grabbing the wheel, you know. At least my parents did. You know, you get too close to something, they're going over there reaching. You know, we can do the same thing with God, don't we? This is why we need to get in the back seat. We're in the front seat with God. We're going to be telling God, "Hey, God, you missed that turn. Hey, God, you need to do this. Hey, God, let me help you out a little bit." No, what we need to do is we need to put our complete faith and trust in him and allow him to take the wheel. I may not know where he's going, but I know he's the one that's driving, and I know that I've got to have faith in him. So that's our first principle here this morning. Do you want to make your faith count? Then understand that faith means trust. If you truly have faith in God, then you will trust him with your whole life. Now let's look at the second point. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." This is not just me talking here. This comes right out of the scriptures. It is impossible to please God. You cannot please God without faith. It is impossible. Listen, you can try. You can try to live a perfect life. You can try to do everything right. You can be in church on every morning, and you can be on your knees every night. But if you don't have faith, you cannot possibly please God. Your good works won't suffice. In fact, God even says that your good works, if you're looking at it in order to save you, is like filthy rags. That's what he thinks about your good works. If you're trying to work your way to heaven, your sincerity is insufficient because you may be sincerely wrong in the path that you take. Why is it important to please God without faith? Well, the rest of the verse tells us that. Look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 again. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Do you see that? This part of the verse tells us there are two things that you must do in order to exercise faith and to please God. Number one, you must believe that God exists. You got to believe that God exists. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, it's elementary here. That makes sense. It would be hard to please God if you didn't believe that he existed. But notice, this is much more than just believing that there is a God. It's not enough to believe in the general existence of God. You need to believe that God himself exists. I probably won't have a good relationship with my wife if I didn't believe that she existed. And it's not enough if I just believe in the general sense that there is a such thing as a wife. No, I need to believe in her. I need to know her. I need to love her. I need to trust her. And in the same way, you need to believe that God himself exists. It's not simply enough to believe that there is a God somewhere out there. You need to believe in him, the one, the true God who has revealed himself to us in the Bible. But secondly, you must believe that God rewards. You must believe that God rewards. Not only must you believe that God exists, but you must also believe that God rewards those who earnestly seek him. If we can't believe that God will hear and answer our prayers, then there would be no encouragement to call upon him. It is not suggesting that there's a desire for reward and that should be what motivates us for seeking God, since the apostle doesn't really affirm that. Rather, it is impossible to make us acceptable approach to him unless we hold this belief. Believe that God exists. that knowledge and assent. Believe that he is a rewarder for those who seek him. That's trust. That's trust. Faith means trust, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 is called by some the Faith Hall of Fame, and I encourage you. We read a portion of it here this morning, and but go home today and just read through the whole list. Read through the whole list of names the Bible says that has these men and women that had faith. And look at their lives. Look at what they've done. In fact, if you even want to do a deeper study, go back to the Old Testament. Get a good cross-reference Bible. Go back to the Old Testament and read their stories. Read their lives and find out why they are included in the Faith Hall of Fame of the Bible. It's a list of several individuals who were rewarded for their faith. And God included that to encourage us in our faith. We can have confidence that we will be rewarded for our faith because the scriptures tell us that. But also the third thing we see here is faith must be in Jesus Christ. Faith must be in Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved." The God of the Bible has revealed himself to us through the history of Israel in the Old Testament and through the coming of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And the testimony of Scripture is clear. If you want your faith to count, your faith must be in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 here is a powerful statement. When the Bible says salvation is found in none other, that's exactly what it means. Salvation is found in no one else. You may not find salvation in Islam. And you will not find salvation in Hinduism. You will not find salvation in Buddhism. You will not find salvation in the Jewish faith apart from Jesus Christ. You will not find salvation in the pagan religions or the worship of nature. There are 21 major religions in this world with many smaller groupings and subgroupings and offshoots, and you will not find salvation in any of them, but only through Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible teaches. Satan will often give you just enough truth to maybe draw you in some of those different religions. And then he will fill your head with lies. He's the great counterfeiter. He sometimes appears as an angel of light, but salvation is only found in Jesus Christ, for there is no other name given among heaven to men by which we must be saved. Also, 1 John 5 puts it very simply and very clearly. In verse 11 it says, "And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life." It is really not difficult to understand, is it? This is why it only takes a childlike faith. Eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. If you have Jesus, well then, you have life. If you do not have Jesus, well then, you do not have life. Acts chapter 16, verse 31 says, "And so they say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. An individual can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and receive salvation." In fact, the Bible teaches that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That invitation is open to anyone and everyone. Faith must be in Jesus Christ. If you haven't done so, I encourage you, come to Jesus Christ today. Today is an opportunity you can do that. I'd love to sit down and talk with you how you can come and know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But it takes faith alone to save. Faith alone saves. We've looked at three principles so far. Faith means trust. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, and faith must be in Jesus Christ. And now we come to the principle number four here. Faith alone saves. This is one of the most precious teachings of the Bible. The Apostle Paul discusses this in Romans chapter 4. Verse 4, it says, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Work is different from faith. When you work, you get a salary. And your salary is not a gift. You don't go and write your boss a thank you note. Dear boss, thank you so much for my salary this week. That was very thoughtful of you. Thank you for your kindness. Love, lots of love for me. That's ridiculous. You don't do that. Your salary is not a gift. It's a wage. You earn it. Salvation is not something that you earn by your works. Do you know what you do earn by your works? Do you know what the wages are for your work? Well, the Bible says that for all have sinned, and that the wages of sin is death. Apart from Christ, even your best work contains a mixture of good and bad, and there is a measure of sin and selfishness in everything that we do. And if we are dependent upon our works, we need to realize that our works earn us death, not salvation. Salvation is not by works, but by faith. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 is another verse that I encourage you to mark in your Bibles and to put to memory. This is a great verse when talking to people and witnessing to people. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Salvation is a free gift of God. Salvation is by God's grace, not by works. We started this whole message series a few weeks ago, started out by talking about work. So we understand the importance of work and how to make your work count. Work is important, but your works have no place when it comes to your salvation. This ties in with the principle number two: without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can be the best person in the world if you want. You can do the greatest religious works of anyone in history. Your works will not contribute one iota towards your salvation. You're not saved by your works. You're saved by grace through faith alone. It is a gift of God. This is so important. This is such an important principle here this morning. This is what makes Christianity different from all the other religions in the world. Other religions, they have a list of things that you must do in order to receive or to maintain a good standing. All the things that you got to keep up with. Whereas Christianity, we don't have a religion of do, we have a religion of done. Jesus did it all. We have to accept by faith what he has already done. He has taken our place. The debt has been paid. We are saved through faith in Christ and Christ alone. Faith alone saves, but notice this next one. Faith that saves is not alone. Faith that saves is not alone. If you really want to make your faith count, then you must grasp a hold of this one. Yes, faith alone saves, but faith that saves is not alone. We just saw from Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith and not of works. But let's continue to read on. Let's look at verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God does want us to do good works, but those good works come after we are saved, not before. Notice this verse doesn't simply say we are created to do good works. But rather, it says that we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. In other words, faith in Christ comes first. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, you become a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. Everything becomes new. All this happens by faith. But now that you are a new creation, God has work for you to do. He didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. He's got work for you to do. You are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Those good works are a necessary outgrowth of your faith. In fact, although you are saved by faith and not by works, the Bible warns us that your faith, that if your faith does not result in works, then you know, hey, maybe you're not really saved. Maybe you need to go back and check out whether or not you're truly saved. Listen to what God says to James in James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Or if a brother or a sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. In other words, true saving faith will always be accompanied by works. Faith without works is dead. Your faith must be accompanied by action, living out your faith in tangible ways. The word dead means inactive or inoperative. How we live should reflect what we believe. Works doesn't provide salvation or maintain salvation. However, good works are evident of a genuine living faith. Jesus said something very similar on the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, it says, you will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. What are your works revealing about your faith here this morning? Is your life bearing good fruit or bad fruit? Are you living for Christ or are you living for self in the world? Listen, it's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus, and then go and live your life as though you don't. That's not saving faith. True faith, true saving faith is always, always, always accompanied by good works. How are you saved? By faith in Jesus. How do you know that you're saved? Because your life is going to show it. Faith alone saves, but faith that saves is not alone. Today's message is a challenging one. But it's at the heart, it's the heart of the Christian message here. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified, or some of your Bibles may have you're a reprobate or you're a counterfeit? There is no Christianity without Christ, and there is no Christianity without faith. Faith means trust. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, and faith must be in Jesus Christ. Faith alone saves, and faith that saves is not alone. I pray that you would use these five biblical principles here this morning to examine your life, to examine your faith. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen, let me encourage you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ today. Jesus Christ gave up heaven. Think about this. He gave up heaven. He came in flesh to the earth. He lived a perfect and sinless life, so that he can become the perfect Lamb of God, because God was going to take him, that perfect Lamb of God, and put him on the cross in order to pay for your sins. My sins. The sin of the world. He died, he was buried, and he defeated death by raising again. That is the gospel. And if you are willing to believe that for yourself, and you, by faith, are willing to trust in what he has done for you, well, then you can receive Jesus Christ today. You can be saved. Let me encourage you to fall into his strong, loving arms here this morning. Trust in Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Listen, it's not about your good works. You could be one of the most wonderful person, loving, most moral people in all the world. And that doesn't contribute anything to your salvation. We trust in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone to save. When you say you trust in Jesus Christ, but, and you start adding to that, you just nullify everything regarding your salvation. You cannot trust in Jesus Christ plus something else. It's Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Let him make you a new creation here this morning. Let him give you a new purpose and meaning in life. If you're a Christian here this morning, let me encourage you to live by faith. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's go back to that verse again. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Everyone believes in something. What do you believe in? I encourage you to trust God and to believe in Jesus. It is the only way of salvation. It is the only way to live a Christian life. It is the only way to make your faith count. So let's go out this morning and let's make our faith count. And if you don't have faith here this morning, then come see me. Come talk to me. I'd love to speak with you after the service, or if you want to set up an appointment with me, fill out your connection card and hand it to me, and we'll contact you with all your, make sure you include all your details there, and I'll contact you, and we can set up a time where we can come together and we can talk about your faith and how you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'd love to do that with you this week. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for all that you have for us. And Lord, we think about faith here this morning. We're examining faith here today, Lord, and we all exercise faith in some way. But Lord, I pray that we purposely take our faith and we put that faith and trust in your finished work on the cross for our salvation. And Lord, those of us who have done that, Lord, our faith doesn't just stop there. Lord, we then need to live by faith. We need to continue to trust in you. Even though we don't know the future, Lord, we can't see the future. We do know you, and we can trust you regarding our future. And so, Lord, I pray that we not only have faith, we not only talk about our faith and share our faith, but, Lord, that we live out our faith, so that others can see Jesus Christ in us, and they too will be willing to put their faith and trust in you. We thank you, Lord, for this gift of faith, and we thank you for your salvation here this morning. Help us to be faithful to share that with others. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.